start your weekend.
Saturday Breakfast with Matt Webb.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
9:32 now, and I'm pleased to be joined this morning by paramedic Rachel Hearn. Now, she's going to be giving us an update on the Brainwaves Challenge. That's an attempt to row across the Atlantic and Indian Oceans, raising money for Parkinson's and PTSD charities. Now, you may remember Rachel was a guest on the show last September. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, how's it all been going?
Yeah, it's going all right. The first crew are on the way across the Atlantic. They are probably going to arrive in Antigua in about 10 days, I think.
Crikey.
They've got 590 something miles to go, and they've been rowing since the 5th of January. So we had a bit of a dramatic rescue. Part of the rudder broke off and they had to be towed into Cape Verde. But they got back on, they've carried on, and they're nearly finished. So, yeah, it's going well.
Crikey. And how long have they been at sea now, then?
So the 5th of January, they set off from Lanzarote. And then about 2 weeks later, they had to be picked up by a passing fishing vessel that towed them into Cape Verde. They were there for a couple of days and then set off again. So a couple of months coming up.
And just tell us about the training that had to be done to do this, because it's been quite intense, hasn't it?
Yeah, so I'm in training at the moment. All being well, we're going to set off from Australia heading for Africa at the end of April, hopefully. It's still sort of on track. And my training is training with a personal trainer, doing a lot of cardio to start with to slim down, and then trying to build up strength now. And also putting on weight, which is the fun bit. So I'm eating everything I can at the moment, trying to bulk up.
I was about to say, we were talking about this off air, and it's interesting because I think the only person that I know of who's ever been told they have to put weight on is a rugby player. So
yeah. For
you to be able to be told all you need to do is put on weight, some people would say that's quite easy, but have you found it difficult?
Yeah, because I'm still training. So if I could stop any fitness, stop going to the gym and just put on weight, it would come on no problem. I have complete faith in that. But I don't want to lose the fitness. But we're going to be burning up to about 10,000 calories a day at sea, and you can only take on board about 6,000. So I need to have a reserve because I'm going to lose so much weight on the row.
So what food can you take on board? What are you allowed to bring? Is it all liquid food, or can you take proper food as well?
It's not proper food as you'd call it. It's like rehydrated meals, so a bit like old school army ration packs. So really high calorie meals that are made and designed for expeditions, that are all dry packed and really lightweight and condensed down, and then you boil some water and you rehydrate them and you eat the slop and it probably reappears about half an hour later overboard.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah.
So just tell us about some of the people involved and the people that have been involved in the row so far.
Yeah, so the crew crossing the Atlantic at the moment are Alex, Billy and Scott. They've all got an adventure background. They've done long distance hikes, and Scott was the first person ever to row across the Black Sea. We did have Liz, who was a lady with early onset Parkinson's, but 2 weeks in, when they got rescued, she, because of seasickness, decided that she wasn't going to carry on. And then on the Indian Ocean crossing, it's going to be Alex again and Billy. Alex is going to hopefully be the first woman in the world to ever row two oceans in 1 year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she's going to be at sea for about half of this year in total.
She needs to come on our Women Making Waves programme.
Yeah,
not just
definitely.
Because it's called Women Making Waves, but for that fee, that's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. So she's going to have a tough year, but she's doing really well. And then there's another chap called John Haskell, who's a retired firefighter, who had to leave the fire service after about 20 years with PTSD, sadly. So that's where the PTSD fundraising and awareness element comes in.
I was about to say, because you're raising money for Parkinson's and other PTSD charities. Now, just tell us the reason why you're doing that.
So Billy Taylor, who's the skipper of the whole project, he had a childhood friend who was diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's in his early 30s. And Billy will tell you that he was really surprised. He had no idea you could catch it so early, which most people don't realise. And wanted to do something to raise awareness, to create research, to raise money. And Billy's background is sailing and rowing, and he just decided to do these really extreme challenges to try and raise money. So that's where the Parkinson's element comes in. And then Billy is also, he's an ex-firefighter. And we talked about last time, mental health and PTSD in the emergency services are rife and are probably a new epidemic coming up. And so that's where that element comes in. And that's where I sort of relate to it all, I think.
Yeah, because you're a paramedic with the East of England Ambulance Service, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
So obviously you go to some horrific incidents and obviously you then have to receive support afterwards in some cases. I mean, how have you found it?
Yeah, definitely. I've been in 13 years now since I've been in the ambulance service, and we don't go to really serious traumatic calls every shift, thankfully, but it is an unpredictable and it's a relentless exposure to loss and trauma and grief. And there are definitely shifts where you feel resilient, and then there are definitely shifts where you come away and it's hit home more than you ever thought it would. And it's just about coping with the build-up of it. And I've definitely found this project, having something to focus on, getting fit, has helped me so much with my stress and mental health and happiness, 100%.
And you've set yourselves quite a big target, haven't you, fundraising-wise?
Yeah, we would love to raise about £100,000 for the charities, because it's such a huge project. It's costing about that much to do the two challenges in total anyway. And we really think it's worth it. It's really grueling and it's going to be multiple world firsts and world records. And yeah, we'd quite like people to cough up and support us in it.
And how much money have you raised so far?
So we've only really just started in the charity fundraising. So we're just over £1,000 in, but we're starting to push it now. Now the guys are getting closer to Antigua and we're really starting to push it, and we will do for the Indian Ocean, definitely.
And if people want to donate to your cause, how do they do that?
Yeah, so the best way is probably to go onto Facebook if you have it. So we're Monkey Fist Adventures on Facebook. We've got all of the links. We're getting live updates from the boat, videos, photos. We've had a lot more contact with them and a lot more media. So that's the best way to follow the whole project. And then the links for the fundraiser are on there. We've got Instagram, Monkey Fist, again on Instagram, and the website. So we're across all those platforms.
I have to say, I do follow your group on Facebook, and I've seen some of the video updates and some of the grueling conditions that people have been having to deal with as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think the crew, because they're seasoned adventurers and they're enjoying themselves, it's coming back. I think people are thinking it's possibly a bit easier than it is because they're making light of it. But they're rowing 2 hours on and then 2 hours off constantly, 24/7. So they're rowing through the night and they're sleep deprived and they're malnourished and they've got sores on their backsides and all the challenges that come with it.
I think that's the thing people don't appreciate. They think of the training, but they don't really think about the grueling and difficult things that people have to go through, whether it's sea battering the vessel or, I don't know, or going through some really bad waters when obviously you might end up with jellyfish or something and then falling overboard. That's obviously a bit of a risk as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So some of the things so far have been, the wind has been in our favour a lot of it, but they've had quite a lot of wind hitting them on the side, so pushing them off course. And the boat is tiny, so rowing two oars on through the waves when they're not where you want them to be is really difficult. And then in the night you're getting hit by waves that you can hear coming but you can't see because it's pitch black. And then Scott's been hit in the face with a flying fish a few times. So there's loads of different...
Sounds like a Monty Python sketch, isn't it? Better than a slap in the face with a wet trout.
Exactly. So you're being bombarded with flying fish that are trying to launch themselves in your face in the middle of the night when you're sleep deprived and probably a bit irritable. But they're making light of it and it's good.
You touched upon obviously people getting irritable. What's the team mentality been like? Has everyone been supporting one another? Have there been any sort of major fallouts? Do we dare mention those?
I think the first 2 weeks as a four, I think it was challenging because Alex and Liz obviously had a lot of seasickness. So they weren't rowing for a lot of the first week at least. And they're all in a confined space. They've never spent that time together before. So I think that was definitely challenging. Now as a three, I've got to say, I think the rescue really made them realise how much they wanted it, and it sort of reinforced what they're doing it for. And I'm not going to say it's been plain sailing, but I'm sure there's been arguments, but the atmosphere, the videos and the messages that they're sending back, there's not been a moment of negativity. They're really on it.
I noticed that there's still smiles on people's faces at difficult times. I mean, that takes a lot of courage to be able to do that.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Me and Barry, the other land support, we're quite gutted. We sort of wanted to see them having breakdowns and sobbing, and we wanted to see them come back as shell of a human being, but they're annoyingly resilient and upbeat.
So just remind us about your leg that you're doing.
Yeah, so end of April, hopefully, we're aiming to set off from Western Australia. It's going to take about 100 days rowing non-stop, unsupported, across to Mombasa in Kenya, which is about 5,300 miles, I think, in a straight line, which we won't obviously do. And yeah, end of April, 3.5 months at sea. It's going to be, if we pull it off, we'll be the first people in the world to ever do it. No one's ever rown from continent to continent, Australia to Africa.
Well, the best of luck, and the best of luck with your leg. And that actually, we'll have to get you in when you've completed it.
Yeah,
to tell us about what the experience was like.
Of course.
And I take it you'll be putting some videos up on social media as well when you're going to be rowing.
Yeah, we've got great support from a few tech sponsors. So the kit that we've got, they're sending back their videos, are such high quality, and so many videos coming back. So yeah, you'll be seeing more of us at sea, definitely.
Well, Rachel, the best of luck. Thank you very much for coming in and giving us an update. And hopefully after April, once you've completed the row, we'll get you in. And hopefully it'll be a big celebration. Hopefully you'll reach that target of, was it £100,000?
About £100,000, yeah.
Well, best of luck with
that. Thank
you
very much,
Thank you very much. No worries.